Exodus chapter 30. Exodus chapter 30. Following the principle of Hebrews chapters 8, 9, and 10, the copy and the shadow principles, what we see in the sacrificial system was just a shadow. It was to point us to the reality that was to come in the Christian kingdom. And in Exodus 30, we have the altar of incense. Beginning at verse 1, "Moreover, you shall make an altar as a place for burning incense. You shall make it of acacia wood. Its length shall be a cubit. Its width a cubit. It shall be square. Its height shall be 2 cubits. The horn of it, one piece with it. You shall overlay it with pure gold. Its top and sides around its horns. You shall make gold molding all around it. And you shall make 2 gold rings for under the molding. And you shall make them on the 2 side walls, the opposite ends, so that they shall be holders for the poles with which you carry it. You shall make poles of acacia wood and overlay them with gold. You shall put this altar in front of the veil that is near the Ark of the Testimony. It's in front of the mercy seat that is over the Ark of the Testimony, where I will meet with you. And Aaron shall burn fragrant incense on it, and he shall burn every morning when he trims the lamps. And when Aaron trims the lamps at twilight, he shall burn incense. And there shall be a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations. You shall not offer any strange incense on this altar, or burnt offering or meal offering. And you shall not pour out a drink offering on it. Aaron shall make atonement on its horns once a year. And he shall make atonement on it with the blood of the sin offering of the atonement once a year throughout your generations. It is most holy to the Lord." Now let's go ahead and start putting that together. If you've read the book of Exodus, you've gone by there. And keep in mind that every single thing that's written in the Bible has a meaning to your life. And you should struggle with it as you go through it. If you say, "Oh, I don't know what that is," try your best to relate it back to your life. And if you can't, you'll remember that struggle. And later on, maybe you'll go back. Every single word, "The sum of thy word is truth," Psalm 119, verse 160. It's all there for us. And this is one of my favorite passages, because the altar of incense is a very unique location, unique purpose. It was made of acacia wood and overlaid with gold, just like the many of the other items. It was called the Golden Altar. It was 2 foot by 2 foot, about 3 foot high, perfectly square. It's the fanciest grill you've ever seen. You couldn't even get financing for it at Lowe's if you wanted to. It had 4 golden horns at each of the corners, and with the overlaid poles of acacia wood, they're gold. And they would use that if whenever they go to move the tabernacle on some of the many movements through the desert, they would have a specific way to load that according to Numbers. And they would have handles on it so that you would not be touching it directly, the priest, as they would move it. But the altar of incense is significant to us as a church because it was really simply a copy and a shadow of the prayers of God's people. Prayers of the saints. Many times, you would have association with incense to prayers. It was Psalm 141:2 says, "May my prayer be counted as incense before you, lifting up my hands as the evening offering." And in Luke chapter 1, verse 10, another example, I'm giving one from the old and new. "The whole multitude of people were in prayer outside at the hour of the incense offering." They had significant prayer when the priest would go in and offer incense to fume it into the Holy of Holies. And that was when they prayed, because as they viewed the smoke ascending up, the fragrance ascending up, that they would think of their prayers ascending up unto the Father. You know, during David's time and Jesus' time, and really all of the biblical time, they associated the incense, in particular the altar of incense, with the prayers of the people. Now, let's look at the first copy and shadow. The incense was to be offered perpetually. Exodus 30, verse 8, as we read, said, "There shall be a perpetual incense, continuous throughout their generations." They weren't going to be taking days off of here. They didn't shut it down like clockwork. They would do it all the time. And but in reality, the Christians' prayers are offered perpetually too. First Thessalonians 5:17, Paul tells us to pray without ceasing. In fact, there are some commentators who will say that has this in reference to it. As we cover the different offerings, you'll see much of what we have in the New Testament goes directly back to the Old Testament, and will receive an entirely different interpretation when you look at it through the Old Testament. Revelation 5, verse 8, "When he had taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each one having a harp, golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints." The imagery is very simple. As these ascend up, our prayers now shall ascend up to you, God, like this. That's the first thing we should notice about the altar of incense. When you're praying, when you go through the book of Exodus or Leviticus or Numbers, whenever you see the phrase fragrant aroma, or you see the imagery from the Old Testament, you should be able to pause and have a prayer to God and imagine that prayer ascending up unto the Father. If you've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, that's exactly where your prayers go to. But let's move on. The copy in the shadow, it was the closest place to the most holy that the priest could come, except the high priest. And Exodus 40, verse 5 says, "Moreover, you shall set the golden altar of incense before the ark of the testimony, set up the veil for the doorway of the tabernacle." So here you'd have the veil separating the holy place from the perfectly 10 by 10 by 10 cubit holy of holies, where God's throne seat was. The Shekinah glory rested on there. You'd have the veil, and right in front of the veil, there was the altar of incense. It was the closest piece of holy furniture to the throne seat of God. And that has a significant meaning, because you can't get any closer to God in this life than with your prayers. You can't. If you think for a second that your prayers don't matter, your prayer is the greatest weapon against this world, against the evil forces of this world. And I know you can get distracted. I get distracted. We have to see that where our prayers are sent up unto God, His throne is just on the other side. It's so close to us. Acts 10, verse 4. Cornelius, it says, "And fixing his gaze upon him and being much alarmed, he said, 'What is it, Lord?' And he said to him, 'Your prayers and alms have ascended as a memorial to God.'" And there could be no greater comfort than knowing that you have an email account with the Creator of the universe. And you don't have to go through MSN, you go through Jesus Christ. And when we cover the veil in more detail, you'll see that come true. And Revelation 8, verse 3 and 4, another example. "The angel came and stood by the altar, holding a golden censer, and much incense was given to him, so that he might add it to the," what? "The prayers of the saints on the golden altar, which was before the throne. and the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints went up before God out of the angel's hands. And God goes, that's a fragrant aroma. You ever burn an incense at home? Every now and then, Natalie will have an incense because her room is closest to the most holy litter box. And so so we'll light up an incense. And it smells really good for a while. But if you can imagine how much God appreciates our prayer to Him. And it does ascend into His holy of holies. Psalm 141, verse 2. As I said earlier, may my prayer be counted as incense for you. Your prayer is making it to heaven. If you are a Christian, your prayer goes right to God in heaven. He hears you. And He knows what you have need of before you ask Him. But He's waiting for you to ask Him. He's waiting for your prayer to come through that veil. Say, there it is. Yes, that is acceptable to me. The copy and the shadow. You know, they had to offer incense in an orderly fashion. It was very, very structured. Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1 and 2. When Nadab and Abihu came in to the altar of incense, they did something that was a big no-no. They took you remember it said in Exodus, they were not to offer strange fire. There's strange fire. They got a coal from somewhere and brought it into the altar of incense. It was supposed to come from the brazen laver outside, the altar of burnt offering. They got it from somewhere else. And they went in. They didn't. God said, don't bring strange fire into me. And they did. And they paid a price. When they were toasted, they were killed right there in the tabernacle. And God, you know, their father had come in and saw it. And God said, I don't even want you to grieve. You wipe that look off your face. I'm serious about how I want it followed. It cost two priests, potentially the next high priest, their life because they didn't follow the protocol that God set up. The reality is we as Christians have certain standards on our prayers that we offer to God. You know, when Jesus tells us, don't pray like a hypocrite, don't be like that. They have their reward. If we're not living an orderly life, we're told that our prayers will not reach God. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert with an attitude of thanksgiving. We're to pray with a great reverence unto God, but in the way that we live. Because if we haven't been living for God and we offer a prayer, God won't accept that prayer. If we have hate for our brother, if we don't forgive our brother, neither will God forgive us. And you think that God's going to just accept that prayer? He's not. But I'm burning inside, Lord. I'm on fire for Jesus. Well, it's strange fire if you're not living for Him. If you have a strange fire in your heart and you're not living for Him, we need to make sure that you are. Because you don't want to go the path of Nadab and Abihu. We are to offer our prayers in an orderly life the same way that the priest did. The copy and the shadow, the horns were symbols of power. Exodus 37, verse 25. And when He made an altar of incense of acacia wood, a cubit long, a cubit wide, and square, and 2 cubits high, and its horns were one piece with it. They weren't separate. You know, horns sold separately. That's not how it came. It came all one piece. Well, what are you trying to say, God? Well, those horns had to deal with power. Whenever you see a horn like this on the altar or on a throne, on this altar of incense, that was symbolic of power. And they put the blood on the horns, putting power with the blood. And The reality is that the Christian's prayers really do have power. They absolutely have power. You know, a lot of times, come on, you could admit it. All right, one human to another, sometimes you think your prayers don't really matter. Come on, you know it. That's how you feel at times. You pray for some over and over again. You think, well, I don't really know if it's going to make that much of a difference. Your prayers always make a difference. Always. I wonder how much incense are coming out of this building on Sunday. If we were to drive by each other's homes, would we see that spiritual incense go up to God with the belief that it's absolutely powerful? You remember in Acts 12, verse 5, while Peter was in prison, it says, but prayer for him was being made fervently by the church of God. They were offering prayer up to God. God, get Peter out. So much so when, you know, one woman kind of didn't believe so much in the power of prayer. When Peter came knocking on the door, I think it was Rhoda, she shut the door. She said, it's a ghost of Peter. It's not Peter. Well, they were praying to have him get out. And when he came, the woman didn't believe it. She had to take a double take. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 11, you also join us in helping us through your prayers. And thanks be given to many persons on our behalf for the favor bestowed upon us through the prayers of many. Paul believed in the power of prayer. We kind of use it as a cliche at times. Have you noticed that? I'll pray for you. You're in my prayers. I'll pray for you. Well, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man does accomplish much, James tells us. You know, you might read in your United States history about how George Washington found rest and relief in prayer. I mean, that guy really prayed a lot. You know, when he was going through trying times for his soldiers in Valley Forge, that man prayed all the time. With all the cares and anxieties upon him, he used to have a recourse to prayer. And one day, a farmer approaching the camp heard an earnest voice coming from it. And coming near, he saw George Washington on his knees and his cheek wet with tears, praying to God. George Washington didn't see the farmer. He thought he was alone, but the farmer ran back to the house. And as he was yelling, he was saying, George Washington will succeed. Washington will succeed. The Americans will have their independence. And his wife asked him, he said, why do you think so, Isaac? And the farmer replied, I heard him pray. Hannah, out in the woods today, and the Lord surely heard his prayer. He will, Hannah. You may rest assured he will. And he did. Prayer changed his life. I believe prayers to God changed the course of history. Your prayers make a huge difference. And you need to remind me of that. Because what we try to do at times is we try to think our way through a problem. And we get all upset. You know, some things are outside of our control. Have you noticed that? Don't you hate it when you can't control the uncontrollable? You can't micromanage things that are out of your grasp. If you want to touch it, send an email to God. Get down on your knees, pray to God, and understand that your prayers will reach heaven and they will make a difference. Another copy in a shadow. God specified a recipe for the incense to be offered. It was a special recipe. Exodus 30, verse 7, Aaron was to burn a fragrant incense on it. He shall burn it every morning. When he trims the lamps. 30 verse 9, you shall not offer strange incense on this altar. 30 verse 34, here's the recipe. Take for yourself spices, stacte, onycha, galbanum, spices with pure frankincense, and there shall be an equal part of each. You didn't put two parts of this and put it together. In fact, God even commanded, this recipe is only for the altar of incense. You can say, you know, I like the smell of the altar. I think I'll sell it. I'll open a shop. Real smell, like the altar. God would strike them dead too. God had a specific recipe that he required for burning on there. But why, God? Can't you just, you know, think that it's the recipe? No, because there's an attitude that goes with it. We have to understand when God calls for something specific, we need to be specific in carrying it out. The reality is that God laid out a pattern of prayers to be followed. Go back and read the examples we have of prayer. His disciples turned to him for instruction in 11 verse 1 of Luke. They said, Lord, teach us to pray. We want to know how to pray. You got it down. I want to know what you know about prayer. You know, sort of a sister account of that. You know, he went on to do the sermon on the plain where he covered the pattern of prayer in Luke. Well, prior to that, in 6 verse 9 of Matthew, Jesus actually said, pray then this way. Jesus spelled out a pattern, elements that should be in our prayer. You know, he says to pray for our leaders. 1 Timothy 2 verse 1 and 2 is very clear about that. First of all, I urge you that entreaties, prayers, petitions, and thanksgiving be made for all men. Where's Congress? Are they in there? Oh, yeah, all men, for kings and all who are in authority, including presidents, congressmen, mayors. Sometimes it's hard to pray for everybody, but that's the pattern God has. God wants us to pray for everyone. Is there anybody, I'm going to ask you this question. Name for me one person God doesn't expect you to pray for. Think hard. Maybe it's somebody you really don't like. What happens when you pray for them? You soften. That may be the next candidate to be ushered into the kingdom of God. Jesus said, pray for your enemies. In Matthew 5:44, pray for each other. James 5 verse 16. Pray in submission to God. Matthew 26:39. He went a little bit beyond them. He fell on his face. And what did he say? Follow the pattern. Father, not my will, but thy will be done. That's a prayer of submission. He was in complete submission to God. In the days of his flesh, he offered up both prayers and supplications to the one able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his piety. Hebrews says, we have a pattern of prayer, and there's a lot of precedent in the Bible. You know, you don't have to pray, you know, sitting in a pew. Try kneeling out of bed sometime. It's good when L4, L5 is hurting in your back, if your bed is just about high enough. Make sure you have a pillow by your knees if you're over 200 pounds, because it hurts after a while. You could sometimes pray like a Muslim, prostrated on the ground. You could pray driving down the road. I took up swimming lately, and I really like it because nobody bothers me in the pool. You know, not one cell phone call while I was there. But I've been praying in the pool. I just close my eyes until I hit the next wall and turn around. Lord, please help my head to heal. My mom, I talked with her before I came in. She had her knee replaced last week. And I hate not being there, you know, to visit your own mom in the hospital. I sent her flowers and everything, but I've been calling her all the time. But she made a special note. The preacher at Esterville went up to see her. She was excited about that. She's not a Christian. But she's asked me numerous times to pray for her, and I have. I usually pray for her on the four laps of breaststroke. I prayed for a lot of you throughout the week. I ask that you take your prayer life super seriously and follow the pattern that God has laid out. If you see it in the Bible, The odds are it's part of a pattern. The British Press Association reported this strange incident. A British submarine lay disabled on the ocean floor, and after 2 days, hope of raising her was abandoned. The crew, on orders of the commanding officer, started a sing. They were doomed. You can't get that up. Here's what they sang. Abide with me, fast falls the ebbing tide. The darkness deepens. Lord, with me abide. When other helpers fail and comforts flee, help the helpless. Oh, abide in me. They sang a prayer, hymn to God. The officer explained to the men they did not have long to live. There was no hope of outside aid because the surface researchers did not even know where the exact location of the vessel was. Sedative pills were distributed to quiet their nerves. One sailor was affected more than the others, and he swooned. He started leaning, and then he fell against a piece of equipment and set in motion the submarine's jam surfacing mechanism. The submarine went to the surface and made port safely. A bunch of men sang a prayer to God. And they made it. If they weren't religious when they were under the water, I can guarantee you they were religious when they came out of it. Your prayers make a big difference. If God could answer the prayers, you know, God's not obligated to the non-Christian's prayers. He is to the Christian. But I firmly believe God has answered many, many prayers of everyone who has turned to Him. But what He wants most of all, He wants our soul. All the prayers in the world are no good if when we die we're not in heaven. And so I call for everyone here to recommit if they need to recommit to God. If they need to fire up that altar of incense, go get a coal from your sacrifices and put on there and commit to praying to God. And if you haven't become a Christian yet, pass through that brazen laver. If you're committed to God, if you're willing to sacrifice yourself because of the sacrifice of Jesus, pass through the waters of the brazen laver and come into the family of God. Be in the light of Christ. Be on the table of the presence. And know that your prayers that are offered are ascending through the veil. And God smells a fragrant aroma. And He is well pleased. If you haven't done that, why don't you think about doing that while we stand and sing.